Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
For the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome in to Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5. Joe George, I am back from vacation. Brian McDonald is here. Jeremy Branham still doesn't want to hang out with us. We'll all reunite on Monday. We're broadcasting live from Rodeo Goat in Edo. Thanks to our friends at both Huntington Bank and Michelob Ultra. Packed house. And I brought a friend, Josh Beard, in the house, back doing radio today. So I don't know who the Twitchers will be more upset to see, me or you.
Me, for sure.
But nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah, it's definitely me. They all hate me. They've always hated me. They're going to continue to hate me. And I'm totally fine with that. I'm happy to be here. I wish you wouldn't have called me while I was on my way to the gym and say, hey, yeah. Dude, Jeremy's just not showing up today.
Sorry.
He didn't even text us. Can you please come do the
turn
show?
Turn your ass around.
How long did it take Josh mention going to the gym? Was that
less than 10 seconds?
Less than 10 seconds. We started at 3:05.
I already took my pre-workout. The beta-alanine's kicking in. The skin spiders are crawling. I'm ready to talk some sports.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot today. We'll talk about the Astros and the Angels to open up here in a second. We'll talk about the finals game last night. Absolutely absurd. Our favorite comeback wins of all time. We'll talk about Brendan Sorsby, Lucien Wheelabits. We'll talk about the World Cup that's underway right now. It's a packed house here at Rodeo Goat. It is absurd here.
A lot of fans
around
from South
Fan
Africa
Fest.
Here.
South Africa.
So many South African fans.
I think I've seen one jersey.
Have you? I have not seen a single one.
I think I saw one jersey walk by. I'm not totally
sure.
It was yellow. It looked like what they're wearing on TV.
Okay, maybe so.
But maybe. But it's crazy down
here.
Or
Baylor. It could have been Baylor.
Joe's just assuming any yellow he sees in the sea of green is just
South Africa.
Yeah.
Very possible. Yeah. But we are here for our soccer watch party. There's a lot going on in Edo with the Fan Fest going on, and all the bars are full. This is a great spot for it. Ready to dive in some food in a little bit because I've walked like $40,000 steps in the last 2 days. So.
Yeah.
Been a lot.
Oh, Disney World, right?
Disney World. A lot of walking.
I forgot about Disney World.
A lot of walking.
And then, the thing you didn't tell me is that it's going to be a lot of walk. I just was walking around FanFest, and it's like, I mean, it is a lot of walking, but it's fun, man. The atmosphere here is awesome. The vibe here is awesome. It's cool to see this kind of energy in Edo and in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got home from vacation last night, and I watched the Astros game.
Yeah. Oh,
what a bad way to come home.
And, you should have just gone to sleep, man.
Should have.
Yeah.
I was struggling.
Yeah,
I was like, this is a late start. It was, a perfect game through five. And then they come back.
But, yeah, not only a perfect game through five, Joe, but against a pitcher who in his last seven starts against the Astros, his ERA was over 11.
Yeah, that's not good.
And that guy went five perfect.
Yeah, and then looked like they had a chance, and then it looked like.
And then Yordan went home.
Yordan went home. Let's start with that. Yordan goes home last night. Ball gets overthrown.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Joe's spot of that. If the ball doesn't hit off Paredes, he's probably safe. I thought he was safe on the initial call. Like, I thought they were going to flip it. But obviously, when they showed the replay, like, he was out. I have no problem with him going there. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, if it was anyone else on the Astros roster besides probably Isak Paredes, maybe Christian Walker, they're safe because it was so close. I don't hate that he went for it. I know, like, you're trying to win every game, and sometimes it's be more conservative. I'm fine with the aggressive send. I got no problem with that.
I'm typically, like 99.9% of the time, I'm fine with being aggressive. But when you're the Astros in the position that you're in, like, you don't have the luxury of being overly aggressive anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the offense isn't good enough. You're on the verge of getting swept by a team that was one of the bottom teams in the freaking American League. And
the bottom.
Solely holding up the bottom of the American League. And, it's weird. I was watching the game, and I'm watching through all of it towards the end of it, and I see that. I'm just like, I think all throughout the season I've been waiting for the turnaround.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for, like, maybe going into the series, I'm like, okay, this is a chance for them to get it right against the Angels. Like, let's just build some confidence here. And to me, getting swept by the worst team is the exact opposite of that. That's a death knell to the season, where this isn't just a slow start. This isn't just a rough patch. Like, this is the future of the Astros for the foreseeable future. There's a hard drop-off with Altuve. We knew that was coming. We started to see it more and more last year. And I think that we're I think as a fan base and as a city, we're coming closer and closer to needing to deal with the realization that there's got to be a really hard reset with some of the stuff that they're doing, because some stuff is working, some stuff's not working, but four for 11? It's not going to cut it, dude. Like, that's not going to cut it.
No, and look, it's what's weird about this Astros season is, because I agree with everything you just said, but they're 3.5 games out of the wild card still. Because we've got a team in the Rangers who are 33-34. They're the last wild card team in right now. Like, it is absolutely a weird time for this roster where, like, you have Hunter Brown coming back still. So, like, it doesn't feel like it's over. Like, I'm not ready to put out the tombstone and say, like, the season is dead yet, because the American League is keeping you alive. Like, they're not being kept alive by their own doing. They're being kept alive, I think, because of what's around them.
I think it's artificial, though. Honestly,
you're probably right.
I'm not calling you out here, but I'm kind of tired in general of hearing, well, they're only back, you know, so many games back because the rest of the American League is terrible. I mean, true, but I still feel like that last team that gets into the playoffs in the American League is going to get to 84, 85 wins, right? Like, we just don't. I think we looked back a few weeks ago, and the lowest win total for the last playoff team the last decade was like 86 wins.
Yeah.
Some team is going to find water and going to get to 84, 85 wins. And even if they're only 2-3 back right now, I don't think the Astros can surpass that.
The bellwether for this team that we're talking about right now is, oh, God, guys, can they make the wild card?
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a dynastic past with this team. And the bellwether for this team is, can they win a championship? It's not, can they make the playoffs as a wild card team? So, like, even talking about, like, can they ooch into the wild card conversation,
that
stresses me out. It bums me out, dude. Like, I have the luxury now of, you guys are in it every single day. Y'all are watching every single game and talking about it the day afterwards and diving into everything. I have the luxury of being able to watch the Astros as a fan again, which I have not had in a very, very long time. And it's been fun watching it as a fan up until parts of last year, and then going into this year, I'm like, this sucks, dude. And if you're thinking about the fan base as a whole and at large, like, nobody out there is feeling good about a wild card appearance.
No.
Everybody wants to, like, this is a team that can win a championship. That's the vibe that everybody wants. And it's not happening. It is not happening with the team made up the way it is. The pitching is not good enough. Apparently, Brian Abreu did some kind of soul switch with a 5-year-old child.
And with Rafael Montero?
Like, it's just wild. Yeah, he and Rafael Montero apparently went on a trip together, and they found some, like, cursed lockets, and now he's like, and he's cursed forever. And it sucks to watch a team that, in my opinion, on paper, has all the pieces to be a competitive team, and they just can't put it together as a whole. They can't score. The thing that has always been one of the biggest problems with this team, even whenever they've been on their runs and won their championships, is the lack of ability to score with runners in, lack of ability to hit with runners in scoring position. And it's even more blatant this year, and it has cost them so many games. It's, in my opinion, the number one problem they have, and I think it's because of a lack of confidence. It's a lack of just overall grit that this team used to have that they just don't have anymore.
Yeah, and then you go into the extras innings last night, and it's like they've never covered a bunt in their life. And it's just like, okay, like, whatever. Like, that's one of those two, like, where as I'm watching that unfold in real time, just like, yeah. Like, that makes sense. Like, that makes sense of how this game is going to go, where it's just going to fall apart in some weird way where you've got a guy playing third who shouldn't be out there in all reality, but because of injuries and days off that don't really make sense to me. Like, that's the other thing with last night's game. Like, you got an off day today. I understand the practical nature of what Joe Espada is doing, giving Jeremy Peña 2 days off in a row, but, like, I don't love it. Like, I don't love the idea of giving him a day off when it's like, you got to win these games. And I know guys have to get days off, and they've got big stretches where there's not a lot of days coming off. That's why when Hunter Brown comes back, they'll probably go into a 6-man rotation. But, yeah, last night was deflating. It's just like that's kind of – last night really feels like a way in the Astros season kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Where it's like when something's going well, like your pitching's good enough, your starter gets a little dinged up, sounds like he's going to be okay. Your bullpen holds it down for the most part. But then in extras, you can't come through yourself in the top of the 10th, And I feel like once that happens with the man-for-man rule, when you don't score in the top of the 10th,
yeah.
that ball game's over.
Yep.
Like, it just feels like that's the way baseball works now. Like, you're gifted a runner on second, you don't score, the game's over.
Yeah,
something's going to go wrong. Last night it was a bunt. That just doesn't go your way.
Yeah, I think Noosh, almost.
Looks like we might have a penalty kick.
Oh,
just
yeah,
so you know, I'm going to rip my headphones off and yell goal as loud as I can.
Yeah. Oh, Will and I did. When they scored, when they scored 5 minutes in, we both did the 30-second goal call.
Sorry if you're in your radio.
Yeah. So
and like, you might,
it'll be like the double banger on John Elway. There's going to be a lot of distorted audio.
Might get blown out. Yeah.
Here's my new strategy facing the Astros moving forward for every team the rest of the season. Full bunt strategy, 9 innings. Just do nothing but bunt against them, and you'll be able to win every single game you play against them. New strategy. It's going to work. The MLB is going to catch on.
All right, we'll take a break here when we get back. Let's talk about something fun that happened last night. The NBA Finals have been not what any of us were expecting. I know Jeremy Branham is not here, so I can speak for him. Has a lot of money. A lot of money. Riding on the Spurs to win
Spurs
this series.
Plus 550.
And plus 750. And
oh,
plus 550.
Oh.
He got him plus 550, went straight up. After the first game, he went plus 550 for them to win in six and plus 750 for them to win in five.
Wow.
So RIP
to Brandon Waller. I didn't know he had doubled and tripled down.
That's why you left. It's when you left us. yeah. we'll take a break. We'll talk about
Michigan.
What we saw in last night's game. It was absolutely absurd. One of the biggest comebacks in NBA history happened during the finals. We'll get to that next right here on Jeremy and Joe and ESPN 97.5 as we broadcast live from Rodeo Go, thanks to our friends at, from Michelob Ultra and Huntington Bank. But first, I want to talk to you about D&M Leasing, home of the easy lease. Give them a call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. Why would you waste hours and hours at a car dealership when you can go to the D&M website, you can see their full list of new and used vehicles that are available for lease. And when you do, and you pick your car, you get that thing within 24 to 72 hours. They'll bring it right to your house, to your office, while you're out at lunch, and they'll take your trade-in as well. They make it as simple and easy as possible. Check them out right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George and Josh Beard here with you today on Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from Rodeo Goat in Edo. Thanks to our friends Michelob Ultra, your chance to win a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra, happening right now. I believe out on the patio is where that you can do it. They're going to be here till 5 o'clock, so you got a chance still to do that right now. And Huntington Bank for sponsoring all of our soccer watch parties we'll be doing throughout the Houston area. But last night, crazy night in the NBA. A 107-106 victory by the New York Knicks, who take a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Absurd.
Yeah.
There's so many absurd stats.
Yeah.
The Knicks trailed by 17 points with less than 9 minutes to go. Entering yesterday's game, teams were 0-96 when trailing 17 or more in the final 9 minutes of a regulation NBA Finals game since 1970. And the Knicks now make that 1-96. Teams were 4-750 when down by 20 or more in the fourth quarter of playoff games over the last 30 years. They're
unreal.
Now 5-750. The Knicks have two of those wins this postseason.
Game one against Cleveland, right?
Yeah. I don't understand what happened last
night. Down 27.
Like, the Spurs went ice cold. OG Anunoby, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
They're hitting everything. Brunson's getting to his spots. Like, they're not just being gifted, like, foul calls to get there. You got Josh Hart from the top of the key. Like, it is just an incredible game for the Knicks last night to surge and come back. And what felt like at first, like, it's like, oh, the Spurs are going to win the series.
Yeah.
The Spurs are going to dominate game four. They're going to roll back in San Antonio, and this thing's over. Instead, the Knicks are up 3-1, and it feels like Jalen Brunson and this crew are going to be your NBA champions here in the next couple days.
The second I saw Jalen Brunson on, but it was really like the first 15 games, 20 games I saw Jalen Brunson on an NBA court, I knew this dude was going to be a star.
Yeah.
And if you think about him coming out of college, he wasn't even one of the most highly touted players on that championship team. He was good, not great. There's a reason he was a second-round pick. But coming back from 29 down with the amount of grit and skill that he had last night is not something that I envisioned happening for him. Like, I knew that Jalen Brunson was going to be great. But 36-7-5, when he and OG Anunoby were just time and time again there, every single time they needed a point. And Anunoby shot 77% from three last night. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, 7-9.
On top of that, defensively, he was incredible the entire way. I never thought I would also say, hey, Karl-Anthony Towns, a pretty good defender. Like, in what world did I never thought I would see a Cat versus Wemby matchup where I thought Wemby did very well, but I thought Karl-Anthony Towns, it was like a good duel between the two of them. But it was Jalen Brunson and OG who led the charge. And I'm torn, man. I can't stand the Spurs. I don't want to see them win anything. Also, I think it'd be hilarious to see Jeremy lose a lot of money if the Spurs lose. That's just hilarious.
Yes.
But then also, like, the stuff that's been going on with Knicks fans attacking Spurs fans in New York made me kind of want to be like, you know what, screw the Knicks. I don't want them to win. But at the end of the day, I love Jalen Brunson as a player. And the fact that any team ever let him walk into New York to be the superstar headliner of the New York Knicks is an absolute travesty.
Who was that team, Josh?
The team shall not be named.
Who was that team?
It was the Mavericks. It was my Mavericks. But that, you're talking about a Dallas Mavericks team who had Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic in their backcourt from the same draft. Neither of them are on that team anymore, and now they have to sit there and watch Jalen Brunson be an absolute.
Oh, but you got Anthony Davis.
He'd be an absolute superstar. We're not talking about the Mavericks right now, Brian. We're talking about the Knicks. Jalen Brunson, absolute superstar. Anunoby kind of having a little bit of like a breakout moment right now. Like, this is, that was a huge moment for him.
He spiked on playoff finals MVP. Fascinating to see who's going to get it when the Knicks win this thing, because there's going to be a good argument for Brunson, OG, and Cat. And, like, I agree with everything you said about Cat. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns going into this series, my thought was the Knicks are going to feel like they're close, and they're going to try to convince the Milwaukee Bucks that Karl-Anthony Towns is worth Giannis. Instead, they're going to win a championship. And it shows, like, two franchises kind of made big mistakes that have allowed the Knicks' success. Like, the Timberwolves got frustrated, and we all get it why. But it's now turned a corner with the right coach and the right system. Look, again, this is a team that fired their coach last year in Tom Thibodeau. Like, this is the one. This is the Rockets' angle of this. I think is this when the Knicks win the championship on Saturday. Rockets fans are going to be talking about the New York Knicks and them firing Tom Thibodeau as the reason why the Houston Rockets should fire Ime Udoka.
Yeah,
because it's a great coach, defensive minded, grinds his players down. And instead, they bring in an offensive mind who fixes this team, and now they're going to be NBA champions. And people are going to look at the Rockets the same way they look at the Knicks and say that's what the Rockets eventually are probably going to have to do. But for the Knicks, like, I give them a ton of credit. Like, I love Jalen Brunson. First time I watched him play basketball, he was a junior in high school. He was playing Jahlil Okafor, who was about to go to Duke. Jalen was a junior at Stevenson High School. He dropped 56 points in a playoff loss in the state championship
game. That's crazy.
It was it might have been the semifinals, but it was incredible. And it's like, oh, this kid's going to Villanova. Everyone's pissed he's not going to Illinois or Northwestern or something like that. But he has become, like, just such a clutch player, and he was last night. But you're right, OG, he's a story. Like, 10 for 15 from the field, 7-9 for 3.
93.5% true shooting last night. Like, absolutely nuts stats. And he's doing it on the biggest stage. I think that the Rockets angle is, like, super interesting. And this is, to a larger point, to the way the NBA is structured now, where, you know, every time growing up in sports, we always heard defense wins championships. We still see that in baseball. We still see that in football. For sure we see that in football. Man, that's just dying more and more every single season with basketball. With the way the way they formulated the rules, where they don't really always consistently call travels, and superstars are getting calls all over the place. One of my favorite strategies was Spurs versus the Thunder, where the Spurs are just like, okay, if you're going to flop and get calls, we're just gonna foul you really hard. But that's not good defense. That's just better strategy, right? But the Spurs are a really good defensive team, and we're struggling because of the amount of calls that we're getting called against them, right? So the way the NBA is formulated is just defense just does not win championships anymore. It's good to have a rim protector. Still, a guy that's tall that can alter shots. Like, shot alteration is still important. But when it comes down to, like, lockdown defender, putting hands on a guy, they just don't let it happen in the NBA anymore, which is an absolute travesty. So it is smarter to go in the direction of an offensive-minded coach, get offensive-minded players, and just outscore your opponent. Just be highly, highly, highly efficient. And last night is why you saw why you want to have an insanely efficient scoring team.
Yep.
Because they can come back from the greatest deficit that we've seen in the NBA Finals and win a game where, like you said, if they had lost, who knows what kind of momentum the Spurs have then. And it was fun to see, but it just... it shows me that the NBA is in a much different place than it has been ever. And I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I dislike that. The scoring is cool, but I want to see, like, old school early 2000s Pistons-style defenses in games, too.
I think we're still got some of that with, like, what OG was doing on defense.
A little bit. Not like, some. It's not, Spurs do it, too. Yeah.
Stephon Castle plays great defense.
Yeah. He's amazing.
And then the other part of the story,
I mean, not
last
as good
night,
as Reed Shepard, but.
is the local kid, kind of, De'Aaron Fox.
Oof.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Would hate to be him today.
Yeah. What are you doing, man?
I mean, like, dude, like, there's 4 or 5 seconds as he has the ball in his hands at first when he touches it, maybe six. If he just runs around a little bit, he's going to get fouled and go to the free throw line.
Yep.
Instead, he goes up for the layup, gets blocked, and then we saw what happened after. But, like, that is one of the biggest gaffes we've seen in a long time in a clutch situation where just, like, all you have to do is try to dribble it out, waste the clock, you're going to go to the free throw line. Instead, he thought he could outrun OG, I think is what he said after the game. Wrong.
Very wrong.
And
which is crazy because De'Aaron Fox is, like, fast as crap, right? Like,
that's
one thing he was known as coming into the NBA, is one of the fastest with the ball point guards coming into the NBA in a long time. But, dude, it wasn't even just that play. Of course that play is egregious, right? Like, you do the smart thing. You do the logical thing, which De'Aaron Fox is not always apt to do in his NBA career. But I felt like every time he had the ball in his hands, the Spurs offense just stalled out, dude. Like, they did not move the ball well. He would just hold it for way too long. And then he had 4 total turnovers. Like, that's – you're not going to succeed whenever your point guard's playing like that. And I love what they have with their youth and defensively. But Wemby needs help on offense. He needs more guys around him, and that was very apparent last night.
I think the fallout from this series – more because of how impressed I've been with Harper, is that De'Aaron Fox is going to be on a different basketball team.
100%.
Next season.
Yes.
And I think the Spurs have still – Jeremy asked this question last week before the series started. Does this change anything about saying the Spurs have arrived?
No.
Whether they win or lose? No, they've
arrived.
Absolutely
not.
They're going to be a problem. It's going to be them and the Thunder, it feels like, back and forth. Now, I do think there is some reason for optimism if, like, you're a Rockets fan of, like – it's not impossible to beat these teams. Now, I wouldn't pick them at all to be a favorite.
Does the Rockets roster change in this scenario?
Yes.
As long as Şengün's the second best player, I disagree.
No, I think because we've talked about it a lot, Brian. It's just like no matter what the Rockets do this offseason, there's no hope. I think it shows that with the right coaching and the right pieces, you can find a way. Like, you've got this Pacers team who took the Thunder to 7 last year, who if Haliburton doesn't get hurt, maybe the Pacers are NBA champions last year, and then the Knicks are going to win it this year. Like, maybe it's not as daunting of a task as it felt going into this series.
Right.
That it's not hopeless. I still wouldn't pick the Rockets to win anything. I just don't feel as hopeless right now. Maybe for this season with Udoka as the coach, because now I am going to join that bandwagon of, like, hey, maybe get an offensive-minded guy in here and change this thing up a little bit. But, like, overall, like, it's – I feel a little bit better from a Rockets perspective than I did when the series started.
Now all we need is for the Spurs to hire Nico Collins for player personnel. Trade Victor Wembanyama for Joel Embiid, a first and like some seconds and some other random pieces.
Fire their coach, hire Steven Silas.
Hire Steven Silas. And then that's what we really needed, Houston, as Rockets fans.
That's it?
Just come and tear the Spurs. Hey, they made it to a finals and lost. Why don't you just tear the team apart? It's not going to work. That's the play moving forward for the Spurs.
All right, we'll talk about our favorite comeback victories of all time.
I know mine.
Because last night's definitely a part of it. There's obviously a big football game that I think happened a couple years ago that will be heavily discussed. But this doesn't have to be a championship game. This is just your personal favorite. So you can pick an Astros playoff game, a Rockets game, a Texans game. They can be regular season, postseason. You call it. Your favorite comebacks of all time that you've witnessed. We'll do that next right here on Jeremy and Joe as we broadcast live from Rodeo Goat on ESPN 97.5. Houston, your road to $1 million starts here on June 13th. The Road to Fanatics Games is coming exclusively to Dick's House of Sport in Friendswood. Step up to the PK Challenge. Go!
Go!
Step up to the PK Challenge and be like Mexico and score a goal. And you can punch your tickets to Fanatics Fest this summer in New York, where you get to compete against 50 of the biggest athletes in the world, like Tom Brady, David Ortiz, Noah Lyles, Cam Scataboo, and more. Participants will test their accuracy with penalty kicks, attempts, aiming to strike a designated target in the goal. And at the end of the competition, the top three winners will be selected to qualify for Fanatics Games this summer at Fanatics Fest. Pull up and get ready to show us what you've got only at Dick's House of Sport in Friendswoods. Even if you're not competing, you can enjoy free athlete photo ops with Nico Collins, Daniil Hunter, and Tank Dell, plus card breaks, giveaways, and more. You don't want to miss it. June 13th, Dick's House of Sport in Friendswood. Myself and Sean Mapes will be broadcasting live from there from noon to 3 on Saturday. Spots are limited. RSVP now at fanaticsgames.com. That's fanaticsgames.com.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Josh Beard back here on ESPN 97.5. We just had the chili cheese fries delivered to us. Jalapenos, bacon. Excellent. Very good. Now, Brian, I'm gonna stop talking. It's all to you now. Okay, I'm gonna eat.
How come?
All right, welcome back on ESPN. Nice to shut up, Josh. ESPN 97.5.
We're broadcasting live from Rodeo Goat, thanks to our friends Michelob Ultra and Huntington Bank. We'll have all of our soccer watch parties that'll be going on throughout this big tournament. You can find out more information on our website, ESPN975.com. When a promo heads to tomorrow, real quick, we'll be at Patterson Park. For tomorrow's broadcast, we'll also, you can show up and register to win a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. You'll not have to be in person to claim your prize. You can sign up with our promo team. Colton will be here tomorrow. You can sign up, put your name in a box, and get your chance to get a nice little $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. We're doing that a lot throughout the summer. It's going to be a lot of fun throughout all these games. And Mexico takes a 2-0 lead right in the middle of the library.
That was amazing.
Great timing. As we're talking about PKs for Fanatics Fest this weekend.
Perfect timing.
Great goal. Great goal call, Brian. I thought you did a good job.
Thank you.
I didn't hear Joshua.
I did not do it. No, I did not. I let you guys handle it.
But
he doesn't have the pipes.
Favorite comebacks of all time. Last night, I'll be honest with you guys, like, I have no dog in that fight, but it's up there for me. Like, it's quickly into one of those games where it's just like, this is a memorable game that, like, you will remember, of just watching a team be so dramatically down, you know, by down 29 points. Like, the still shots are crazy to look at. Just, like, in the third quarter, they're down by 29. They're down by 20
right
in the fourth. 15 with, like, what, like 6 or 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's absurd, but
because it's not just the biggest comeback in finals history. It's the second biggest comeback in NBA playoffs history.
Yeah, like, it's absurd. Obviously, Falcons Patriots has to be towards the top of the list, right? Like, 29-3. It's
28-3. Yeah,
that one. Everything that happened with that game. Like, you still have big Julio Jones catches for the Falcons, but you just get all these massive plays. The Julian Edelman catch, There's so much in that one that, like, it's hard to beat that one also.
Yeah.
Because also it's for the Super Bowl, you know. Last night's just a finals game. Now, it's going to lead to the Knicks winning, so it's similar in a way. But, like, when you saw this topic, like, what jumps to mind for you?
I mean, okay, there's one that's Houston-based. I didn't even live in the city at the time. I wasn't a fan of the team at the time. But I remember the date. I was watching the game, December 9th, 2004. Tracy McGrady's 13 points in 35 seconds to win 81-80 over the Spurs. Like, what happened last night was incredible because of the stage and because of the timing and the sheer deficit. But, man, I've seen very few people just will a team to a win the way T-Mac did. And with the swagger that he had when he's doing it, just three after three after three with dudes in his face the entire time, that one is one of the first ones that popped up into my head. The one thing I was going to say, interesting thing, is like last night's comeback, do you think that that's more difficult or do you think that the Patriots coming back in the Super Bowl is more difficult?
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Agree. I totally agree.
Just because we know in basketball, like we see these giant runs happen all the time.
Yep. The ups and the downs and the swings of a game.
I mean, how many Rockets games do we watch this year where they're up by 15 and the game's tied?
It's the nature of the
runs.
Game now, too.
Yeah. It's a game of runs.
Now, last night is to an extreme level, but we don't really see comebacks like that in football in general.
Correct. We have difficulty finding or thinking of any games where it's like a 10-point or a 14-point comeback in a playoff game, much less a 25-point comeback in the Super Bowl, right? But anyway, back to best comebacks of all time. Number one for me that I instantly – well, actually, number two that I thought of. I'll save my number one. Number two that I instantly thought of was T-Mac. My number one, this is personal to me. It also led to a team winning an NBA championship. It's 2011 Mavericks again in Game 2 against the Heat. Mm-hmm. The deficit wasn't as big. I think it was I should know this. It was either a 15- or 16-point deficit. Tomorrow's my birthday, by the way. They won the championship on my birthday in 2011, and I forced my family to watch the championship DVD every single year. This is going to be year 15 that my wife has had to watch it. This is going to be however old my kids are. Actually, it'll be year 15 for my daughter, too. But that comeback, just the way they did it, the number of threes that they were shooting, Jason Terry claiming, like, on one of his threes to help them come back, he couldn't even see the rim. Like, it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. He's like, I closed my eyes and his hand was in my face. I couldn't even see the rim, so I just shot it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolutely insane. And then it gave them the momentum to continue carrying that the rest of the series. But that, to me, is probably, especially when you're talking about a big three of at the time of Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh, with the good role players that they had, with, like, Mario Chalmers and some of the other dudes that were on that team. That Mavericks team had shown that they can come back from deficits. They did it against the Trailblazers. They did it against the Thunder. But in that moment, it was just like there was nothing that was going to stop them. You kind of felt that they were going to win. Dirk gets the go-ahead bucket, and then they end up taking game two and winning the championship off of it.
Kook Blaze on Twitch says the Kooks come back against Duke in the
final
four.
Oh, that's a
great
one.
That was on my list.
That's a good one. The first one I thought of was, and I was trying to remember, I don't remember the exact details, so I had to go look it back up, but down 7-3 in the eighth inning.
Oh.
The Astros winning 8-7 against the Mariners in game one of the ALDS
in
2022. Jordan Alvarez hits that home run, that first big home run of the postseason that year that, like, really starts the World Series run there. And it's, like, that's the one that, to me, of the Astros that stands out the most. The T-Mac one was on my list, like, mainly
because... Sorry, stole it. My bad.
No, but, like, it's so absurd, dude. Like, it's one of the greatest, like, individual performances in the history of sport, I think.
Yeah,
like, to take over a game in that capacity... The way that he did offensively and defensively is absolutely absurd. Like, I think a lot of Houston people would say, like, that's probably their number one. I was trying to think. I couldn't think of a Texans one, Brian. I don't know if you have one.
I mean, let's look at last year, Davis Mills and the Jaguars. They were down 21 entering the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And the improbable that – I think that was the first game of the three-game run that when Davis Mills went 3-0. Without C.J. Stroud when he was out with the concussion.
Yep.
They're down 21 points, and then he scrambles into the end zone of all the ways to tie the game and go ahead. That was a pretty improbable comeback. The biggest one, now it was kind of in a lost season because it was 2013 when they were terrible, but they had a 21-point comeback against the Chargers on Monday Night Football in 2013.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, Brian Cushing scored a pick six. Yeah. That was an incredible comeback.
Another one that I put on my list, it's kind of like a nothing game, a regular season game, but the Vikings 33-point comeback.
Oh,
the
Minneapolis Miracle, the Case Keenum to Diggs.
Yeah, like that's I think they ended up winning that game in overtime 36-33 or something like that. Like it's kind of like Houston oriented, but yeah, that a 33-point deficit, we talk about a 25-point deficit, 33-point deficit in the NFL is just
insane.
An insane comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say 30. I mean, you made me think of the Oilers and the Bills.
My bad. Sorry, that's hurtful. My bad.
PTSD.
I pulled up a list, and it was the number one.
Of course.
Was it really?
Yeah. Of course it is.
I would say this one's a little different. I don't know if it's outside the scope of this. I got to take 2019 Masters, Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, coming back and winning that thing after, like, being, like, done with golf for – it felt like it was a couple of years, like, since he had really been good. All the injuries, the drug issues, Perkins, waitresses. like, there was a lot going on. And then, like, Tiger Woods comes back out of nowhere, and, like, he wins that thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different because it's, like, an individual sport, and it's more of a career comeback versus, like, an individual game.
I didn't even think about the big three, but, I'd agree with that. Like, that's – that everybody had written him off as done. I think we can safely assume he's done this time.
Yeah,
or do you think there's going to be another Tiger comeback?
Well, we were at
the Champions Tour.
We were at the Champions Tour. At the Houston,
the Woodlands.
In the Woodlands, and the guys there were like, they're kind of expecting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. They were talking about how things have to change a little bit with, like, probably security and everything.
Yeah.
But like, I can't remember who we interviewed, but
we interviewed the winner.
It was the second guy we interviewed,
but it was the other guy who was leading at day one, and he kind of choked.
Yeah, he did.
I'm forgetting the guy's name, though.
my favorite personal one that no one here is going to care about except for me.
Is this going to be Notre Dame?
No, it's going to be Chicago Bears.
Okay.
But it's also my least favorite because it's the worst thing I've ever done.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I was a young child. It was snowing.
Uh-huh.
It was cold as all hell. I left the game early with my dad.
Oh, no.
No way, dude.
And by the time we got on the bus to get back to the car, Mike Brown got a pick six against the Browns. Then they recovered an onside kick and scored again. And I think they came back. I think it was down three touchdowns in a regular season game. Whew. And we missed all of it.
So who's,
that's
who's,
brutal.
Now you are, I know you're
young. I was in like fifth grade.
Are you begging dad to leave?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is on you.
Yeah.
This is on you.
No. So not this wasn't a pops. Dad wanted to leave. You had to go. This was not only did you ruin it for yourself, but you ruined it for your father, too.
I was being a bitch.
So, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Does your father still blame you for this?
Fun fact. My parents are going on a cruise after our Disney trip, so they're still in Florida. We drove down there with them. We flew back. My dad brought it up on the car ride.
That's hilarious. My favorite comeback I've ever been a part of, and I wouldn't have let my son talk me into it if I don't care if he had put like an iron, like a hot iron to my back. The Aggies 27-point comeback this past season against South Carolina. We were at halftime.
We were
there, and we're at halftime. And the cool thing about Kyle Field is that there is some place where you can go get food. You literally scan your card, walk in, grab whatever you want, and walk out. I was like, look, dude, we're going to go get $50 worth of hot dogs and pretzels. We're going to get some drinks, and we're just going to chill out. Worst case scenario, they still lose this game, and traffic won't be that bad when they leave. Or they end up coming back, and it's one of the greatest sporting moments we've ever experienced in our entire life. Now, the season did not end up being as fun as that win, but that comeback was a pretty fun comeback, especially to experience it with my son, who did not force me to leave, and he actually wanted to stay, especially
better,
since I was buying him
Joe.
Food. Yeah, way better kid
sure.
than Joe.
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. Yeah. First time I took my kid to a baseball game, my dad was like, you're a little leave early? I'm like, yeah. He's four, dude.
It's on
like,
those will be your dad's dying words.
Yeah, it's gonna be like,
you're gonna leave this early too.
You're making me leave early
Look,
now,
man. I paid to fly back to Chicago to go to World Series game in 2016. I think we're square now.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, they didn't win that game.
No, you never wrote that down.
All right, let's go out to the HRMP guest line. We'll see how this listener line, we'll see how this goes. It's kind of loud in here, but Chris is on the HRMP listener line. Chris, what's going on? What's your favorite comeback of all time?
So I've got a couple of comebacks. A couple of my favorite comebacks have to be like Riley Reed or Mia Khalifa. Hey.
Nope. Yeah, I guess he dropped. I'll jump in with one.
Who are those people?
I'll jump in
have
with
you ever
one
seen the Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
No. First, have you ever seen the Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec?
Yeah. Which part?
Where he makes that same exact joke, but it's so it's a blooper. So funny.
It's one of the funniest things.
I will send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I will send it to you.
Chris, right. I respect it, but don't ever do it again.
New interns, vet the calls.
That's it.
Brian, take it away.
So I'll go one personal that you guys won't share because it's college football and you don't root for this team. But Vince Young's, the year they won the Rose Bowl against Michigan, they're down 35-7 at half against Oklahoma State. End up winning 56-35. Okay. It was an unbelievable comeback. It's kind of the moment where you're like, okay, Vince is capable of anything. The other one, taking it back to Houston sports, the 18-inning game against the Braves.
Yeah.
They were down 4-1 in the eighth inning. They needed a Brad Ausmus home run, of all things, to tie the game. It hinged upon a Brad Ausmus home run.
I forgot about that one.
And then the game goes in extra innings at 4-4, and, of course, Chris Burke walks it off in the 18th.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else. I had one in mind that I was going to go to, but I totally forgot. It's where I fell in love with Caleb Williams. Sorry, Brian. When he comes in for Spencer Rattler.
Oh, okay. That wasn't great.
As a freshman.
That
sorry,
wasn't great.
Sorry to my Longhorn friends.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal.
But that's where I was like, I like this guy a lot.
I really wish Spencer Rattler had finished that game.
I wish, because you would have dog walked Oklahoma in that one. Let's see. Text line, 2001 Holiday Bowl. Texas down 16, entering the fourth quarter, and Applewhite had to finish it for the comeback.
Yeah, there was unfortunately a lot of games where Applewhite did things and he didn't, for some reason, keep the job.
Reggie Miller, just as a text here. I guess when he did the choke sign, probably.
Yeah, was that a big comeback? I don't remember the circumstances.
Yeah, I feel like that was.
Circumstances are fuzzy.
I feel like that wasn't like a huge comeback, but it was definitely a. It looked like
it was
they
a
were.
Clutch moment.
It looked like they were done, and it
well,
was.
I guess
clutch,
it was
like,
a comeback because he does the choke sign.
Yeah,
but I don't really remember the details.
I mean, like the if you're going like from like a series aspect, obviously the number one is Red Sox Yankees.
Yep.
Yeah, or Warriors are up 3-1 on the Cavs. You're the only year the Cavs won the title.
You're right.
They're up 3-1 in that series.
But yeah, this list I found number one was the Bills defeating the Oilers in '92.
Triggered.
Number two.
Do any of them mention the Chiefs' comeback against the Texans? If you're going to keep,
I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
But why do you have 20, to be hurtful, 24 man?
24-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah,
and then the final was like 56-30.
Yeah, see that one I feel like almost doesn't count because it turned into such a boat race.
Yeah, it did.
Like it's like normally these end up in competitive games,
right?
Like the final score at least, but that one just became so extreme. This list has the McGrady 2004 as. Number four on their list.
Nice.
As the number four.
What are the top three? What are the three above
it? To bail you out a little bit, Josh, I had tickets to that game. But my – well, you guys know this because he's in our – you guys know him because he's in our fantasy league. Mayboy, my friend Travis.
Yeah.
He was sick, so he's like, sorry, man, I can't go to the game. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go.
Oh, that sucks.
That game was McGrady's comeback.
It says that's number brutal. Two was Liverpool defeating AC Milan in the 2005.
That's okay.
I had that too,
I had this one,
Oh, how did we forget that one?
AC Milan got up 3-0 early, I guess.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Liverpool ended up winning a shootout in that game. 1982, LA Kings defeat the Edmonton Oilers in Game 3. They were down 5-0 after two periods.
Down 5-0 in hockey? They won? Wow.
That's actually – that might be more difficult than any of the NFL comebacks that we talked about.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you know what?
I don't know. I mean, Saturday, like, I don't know if you guys watched, but the Golden Knights are up 4-0. And they end up winning the game. They're up 4-0 after the second period. And the thing went – it went to double overtime.
No, I didn't get to see the
Carolina scored four goals in the third, and I think they scored three of them within like
I think
a
I
minute.
I didn't catch that game because I was doing literally anything else.
Oh, see, I'll tell you, like, Yeah. This, like,
you hate hockey?
I don't hate hockey. It's just I don't seek it out. Like, it's not. I didn't. Oh, look, I grew up in Texas.
Sounds like you're just changing the wording of hate.
I would have loved to play hockey, but watch. I do like watching playoff hockey, but I don't seek it out.
I mean, it's like this has been elite level Stanley Cup.
Has it really
this
been?
Year. It's been incredible every single game.
You know what? Since it is a Stanley Cup time, maybe I should watch at least one game. A game we forgot about, the self-pass. Anybody remember that? Titans were down 17 points on the Chiefs in the 2017 playoffs. Marcus Mariota had a pass deflected into his hands, and he ran it in for a touchdown.
God, no, I don't remember that
at all. Oh, man, that one, I totally forgot about that.
I
was trying to remember who it was. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was Mariota. But, yeah, the self-pass in 2017 was a pretty good one.
All right, so you guys can send in your suggestions, even the children who are out here, who Jeremy would be ashamed of. I'm not going to lie, I laughed. I know I'm not supposed to, but I thought it was funny. So kudos to Chris for squeezing in. I do appreciate the effort there of what transpired on the show a couple minutes ago. And for the people who don't understand, sorry.
As soon as you said it was a caller, I'm like, that's 100% going to be what's going to happen.
I was hopeful. look, I've been on vacation, man.
That's
like,
true.
That's
you're just, you're a little rusty. It's
a little
fine.
Rusty,
yeah.
You know? All right. Let's. Once upon a time, on a different radio station, three of us we're part of a show called the Fantasy Four. So in or out on Texans fantasy players, we're going to do that next right here on ESPN 97.5 as we broadcast live from Rodeo Goat. Your local bar, it can be your ticket to a global stage. Michelob Ultra Soccer Shootout is giving fans the chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup 26. All you have to do is show up and compete. This event is running now through June 14th. You show up, you compete in their interactive soccer shootout game, and the winner will go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. You can come to Rodeo Goat right now. They are here until 5 o'clock, and the winner will go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game, courtesy of Michelob Ultra. Will not be your only chance this week. On Friday, tomorrow from 5 to 8, they'll be at Christian's Tailgate. On Saturday, you'll have multiple opportunities throughout Houston. Little Woodrow's here in Edo, Moonshine Deck in the Heights. On Sunday, you can go out to Chapman and Kirby in Edo, Twin Peaks in on Kirby, Fabian's Latin Flavors in downtown. All those places you can go to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the World Cup thanks to Michelob Ultra. Play for a chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents, 21 and older. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules/ for prizes and details.
ESPN 97.5.